We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King.
And this is Steve Minnick, and Kevin and I will be your facilitators for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life.
And if you do have any questions, feel free to the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300.
Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Well, Kevin, I've got to tell you, we have a special guest here from China. This is Dwight Goldwyn, and he now lives in China. And am I correct, Dwight, that you are 70 years old or over 70?
I'm 70.
70. Well, congratulations. That's a milestone.
Yes.
Well, Dwight, Steve told me just before we started the program today that you got yourself out of bed at 3 a.m. your time, which would be Thursday morning China time, in order to be on this call here now, which is 4 a.m. your time. Is that right?
Yes, it's 4 a.m. here.
Wow. Just really, really appreciate the fact that you decided to get on this phone call today. That's huge. Let me ask you a question. What compelled you to say yes to being on the show and getting up and being here at 4 a.m.?
Well, I just love my life, and I love sharing about it. And my job is a life coach, and so if my own experience can help other people to have a more vital and exciting life, then it's my honor and pleasure to be included in that.
Wow, thank you so much for being here on the program. I have a question for you. I was talking with Mark Boersma, a mutual friend of ours. And he said that that you frequently hang out with a lot of 20-year-olds. And is that right?
Yes, teenagers and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. Yes, I'd say I have more friends in that category than I have friends more in my age. Yes.
Was that an intentional thing on your behalf?
It just seems to somewhat turn out that way. I have no objection to having, hanging out with people my age or friends my age. But here in China, I have a new life class. It's a 3-hour workshop that I held every Sunday afternoon. I hand out my card for it. And so I just noticed that people that age show up, it's partially, I have an interpreter, so even if people didn't know English, they could easily come to the class and participate in it. But my impression here, especially in China, is people, when they get older, they just feel like they've got, like their life is sort of over, or they have nothing new to learn or something like that. And so they just, they rarely show up in my class, And also I have another program. I have a social secretary in China, and her job is to fill my evenings up. I have I call it Strangers into Friends, an evening with Dwight. And so usually 3 or 4 nights a week at 7 p.m., 2 to 3 strangers show up at my door. And,
wonderful.
And then we have I have dinner ready for them, and we have a visit for 1.5-2 hours, get to know each other, and just have a great time together. And these people, again, any age is fine with me, but these people tend to be in their 20s and 30s. One reason, though, there might be another factor there is older people in China generally don't speak English, as compared to the younger people. So, and I do need, for the evening session, I don't have an interpreter, so they generally, since I don't really speak Chinese, they need to speak English. But
however, Dwight, those 20 something kids that you have over for dinner do speak Chinese fluently, And wouldn't it be interesting to have them invite their parents or grandparents?
That would be very interesting. And maybe I haven't even thought of that, but I will put that in my agenda to mention that to them when in the future. Thank you for that idea.
You know, there's an idea that caught on here in the United States back in, I believe it was the 70s, where it was take your daughter to work day. So maybe this is take your grandparent to dinner night.
I love it. I'm writing that down right now. Take the grip to dinner. Yeah.
In fact, Kevin does a great turn of the phrase as well. I remember him saying the other day, should we turn retirement into meant to be retire or meant to be retired? In other words, should we be retreading instead of retiring? Should we be retreading to keep going for another 100,000 miles, so to speak?
I like it. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Retirement means meant to retire. And it's retire meaning, hey, putting new life. And
exactly.
I love that new life. I love that new life seminar you give it. And can you give us just a couple highlights of what you have? I mean, I don't want to give the whole thing away because, I think you – if I understand correctly, is that you like to give out your contact information for a free gift coaching session, and we're going to do that at the end here. But I wanted to just kind of get an idea. What are like one of two of the things that you find fascinating that you found in your life that promotes life and how you can share new life with people in the class?
Well. The most fascinating thing that I've discovered, or the most fundamental thing that I've discovered, is that if you really understand the distinction of courage, and you consistently choose courage in your life, then you'll have a life that you love, and pretty much any problem you have or anything that needs to resolve can be resolved or solved. I wrote a 700-page book about courage. And so that's one thing, but also there's other things like I focus on, our whole culture and really the culture of the world is not any different here in China, is accomplishment, 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 results, results, results. And results are fine, but much more important is, are you enjoying the process? Are you enjoying the dance of life? And if you enjoy the process, then the results will take care of themselves. And so I focus much more on whenever I'm considering setting a goal, I'll ask myself, how am I going to enjoy the process of this? Or I even think that 99% of the reason of setting this goal is to enjoy the process and the dance of the process. Does that address your question?
It does. And I found in any new endeavor, though, that there's a fair amount of pain and work at the beginning. So how do you enjoy the process knowing that in a new endeavor, it's going to take a lot of work? I mean, what do you gear yourself mentally to do? What do you rely on in order to make that a reality?
It doesn't occur for me that way. It just occurs as, okay, this is – and I design something so that I enjoy the process of it, or I don't even, if something occurs, is I can't find a way to enjoy the process of it, including the beginning where it's, you're talking about work and my job, I know I've been a life coach for 28 years now, but my job is like play. People pay me to play, and it wasn't any different 28 years ago when I started it. It was just getting up in the morning and being so excited to do the things. And sometimes there were certain things I didn't enjoy so much, but I asked myself, how can I make this fun? How can I make a game out of this? Or how can I enjoy the dance of whatever it is, So,
wow.
There's an expression in that we have, no pain, no gain. Well, I have the expression, more joys, more toys.
I love
more joys, more toys.
More toys. Yes, right.
I like that.
Interesting.
And when
like
you're
that,
in,
but...
like when you really, for example, just taking learning. See, the problem with our big schools is the schools are designed so pretty much it's very often it's very boring for children to learn the way they're is structured to learn. But learning is so exciting, you know, and so to set learning up where you then you, it's no problem learning if you if you're enjoying the process of it, right?
Right.
Once once I got out of school, I loved learning. You know,
yeah.
In school it was pretty difficult to love learning the way they wanted me to learn. You know.
Oh my goodness. Well then, let me ask you a question. This is really interesting, Dwight. So you said 28 years ago. That means that you would have been 42. So let me ask you a question. If you knew at 42 what you knew now, what would you do differently, or how would you coach somebody who's 42 on, you know, maybe at that age where you were when you started to be a life coach? If you knew then what you know now, how would things be differently?
Well, some of the things that would be different would be very specific to me. You know, they wouldn't necessarily apply to other people, okay?
Sure.
For example, I would immediately move to Asia, you know. I wouldn't wait until 15 years ago to move to Asia. Because Asia just occurs more as a much a playground for me than America does. And well, I love the three most important things to me are adventure and play and feeling connection with other people. And when I'm in a country, I've been to Europe, but Europe is sort of just warmed over America compared to Asia. I mean, Asian countries are really, really different than the American culture, you know. So when I'm interacting with Asian people, it's like constant. Even though I've been in Asia now 15 years, it's still a sense of adventure every time I step in an elevator and there's just Chinese all around me, you know. And I lived in Japan for 1 year, so it's the same way there. And the other thing is. There's a certain advantage I have. I call it the movie star effect.
Is that?
In general, not all Asian countries, but in general, when I meet a new person and I'm a native, you know, speaker with a white face, it's like them meeting Tom Cruise, you know, and so they're so delighted to talk with me. I'm so delighted to talk with them. I can make friends four times faster in Asia than I can in America.
Wow. Because they're more open?
That's fascinating, Dwight.
Well, they're more open to me as a foreigner. They're not necessarily more open to themselves or their own their own people and their own culture, you know. And
I just had an idea here. You know, we have a mastermind seminar group in China, so we can go over there and have fun together. Wouldn't that be fun?
So I'm not quite following your idea, but please say it a different way.
So what we do is we have mastermind seminars here. Happens every third Thursday of the month here in the one chapter here in Chicago, and this time we're having someone fly in. His name is Alan Stein. He builds multi-million-dollar conservatories for people with high net worth, but he creates spiritual environments. He creates spiritual living places where people really connect with what's really most important to them, and that's one of the things that he does. So he's coming in to speak. We have a couple other people flying in, which is going to be fascinating and exciting. And what it is the mastermind group allows so many people with different ideas to come together, and there's a system that helps people. They're in their business so that they make more money, they spend less time doing it, they have more fun doing it, and then they have less stress in their lives. And that's what we want to try and create, so that we can have fun and we can play, but we can get things done and you know, achieve the goals in our life vision. So, but I think it would be really cool to have one there And it sounds like you have some of the same ideologies, not the same structure, same ideologies, and it would just be really cool. You know, so we can talk about that offline or in a future time, but just an idea just to throw out there here for you.
Definitely follow up with me off that line. I'll be very interested in engaging with you on that idea. Thank you.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Well, in fact, Dwight, we have some coffee connections, meetings around a coffee table, and there's a book called The Golden Triangle that is used to connect everybody and to give them kind of a script or a study guide. And there are some native Chinese who attend those in the Chicago area and in other parts of the U.S. as well. It seems to me that that would be a cool way to connect things across the Pacific Ocean, having some of the Chinese that are living here in the United States hook you up with other Chinese that are in your area and do a coffee connection.
Yeah, I have to see whether this idea of the coffee connection would fit into my paradigm of, you know, adding more process to my life that I enjoy. You know, I make more money than I need, so money's not an issue for me, and so I'm just looking at ways that I already have plenty of things in my life. I'm already enjoying my life fully, so it's a question of, well, is there something that's even more fully than what's full already?
Right.
That's a good point.
It sounds like, Dwight, that your coffee connection almost sounds like your dinner with a stranger, which is fascinating to me. And I'd like to talk more, but we have three other callers on the line. I'd like to open up the line here, and I'd like to invite here, I think Mark Borsma's on the line. Mark, are you there?
I am. Dwight,
hello, Mark.
Welcome to the show.
yes. Okay.
It's aren't Steve and Kevin fun?
Oh, yes. I love their energy.
did you want me to ask a question?
Yeah, do you have any questions for Dwight?
I do. Dwight, do you have any suggestions? You know, my parents are in their mid-70s. You know, up until probably 5-6 years ago when my dad's health went down, I would have to say I think that they enjoyed life. But do you have any suggestions for individuals that, you know, are over 60 and their health has really changed their life dramatically? The things that used to bring them joy, they're just physically not able to do. Do you have any suggestions that would help them?
Well, I can't speak from direct experience, Mark, because my health is really good. And I would just... one thought I have, though, is that if they can just adjust to their to their energy level or their whatever. In other words, sometimes we do a lot of comparisons. Well, I used to be able to do this, you know, so something's wrong that I can't do that anymore, or I can't be that. But to adjust and just like not compared to the past, but just say, okay, given how I am today, and just be okay with that, and see what pleasure I can get out of just the way it is. I notice when myself sometimes, say I'll have a low energy day, Mark.
Yeah.
And if I pressure myself to have the same level of performance that I have when I have a high energy day, then I'm going to feel bad. Whereas if I just say, oh, it's just a low energy day, you know, adjust my day to accommodate for that, then it's actually okay. It doesn't feel like a burden or a problem anymore.
I love that.
So that might be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of others. There's a whole group in Utah we were talking. They have another mastermind group. Maybe you could be on theirs too. On Thursdays they meet. But they had, you know, parents that are in their 70s and 80s. And so, and then also Scott Young's mom, he had both his in-laws. They're both, I think, and I think he said his mother-in-law, if I remember correctly, was blind. And one of the things that I've thought about is that it seems like getting individuals like over 60 on the phone to have a conversation, maybe with what they would consider strangers. Any suggestions on, I mean, these are fun calls. I mean, there's so much richness in this. Do you have any suggestions for Scott or Donna or Brenna or Scott, or myself even, or, you know, even Kevin, and getting, how do we get our parents onto a call like this to get them engaged?
Well, you have to start with where they're at, you know, and just like start with what their concerns are, what the, and then if you can tie in to how this call may be a expression of their a way to address their concerns or to see some new possibility that they didn't see before. If you just try to push them, of course, they're probably going to push back, you know. One of the problems sometimes that occur with the older people is they cut down on, or they don't have those. One thing, my mother, she actually had I think, really great life up to maybe the last 2 years, you know, when her health was really failing. But up until then, she died at 90 years old. But I'd say up until ADH, her life was really great. And part of the reason of that, she had a lot of friends and she had a lot of social activities and she volunteered for the hospital, you know, charity thing. And she was very active, you know, with other people.
That's the thing that confuses me, because it's like they kind of say they want to have social. If they don't, you know, they've retired, they've lost the whole social of the career and all of that. So they say they want it. It's like, well, being on a phone, you don't have to travel anywhere. You can do it from anywhere. You jump on the. I mean, it's, and I think, you know, there's so much wealth and richness to share, and it's a half an hour once a week. It's like you'll gain from it. You'll give to other people. You'll meet new fun people. And it's like, but I know I do that for a living and I've done it for decades myself. So I know how amazing it can be. And I don't know if I know how to communicate that to a group of people over 60.
If you could communicate it in such a way that it was more focused on what they could give to others and their ability to contribute to others than on what they could get for themselves, then that could be more motivating a lot of people, they die shortly after they retire, you know, even though they were looking forward to retiring. And it's because we love, you know, in our job, most of us feel like at least we're contributing something when we're working, right?
Right.
But then you stop working and where do you feel your contribution then?
Right, and if your kids, go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, I was just saying, what questions then would you ask them at, if they say it's what you can contribute to others? Well, what can I contribute? And then what would be some of the questions that you'd ask them? Like, if you know now what, you know, if you knew then what you knew now, what would you tell somebody? Something like that?
Or just say, you know, in your so many years of living, if there was a young person who was 20 years old and they say, tell me the three most valuable things that you've learned about how to have a satisfying or a great life, you know?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or even to share some of their experiences that they've gone through that they feel like the sharing of which could contribute to others, you know?
Wow.
Oh, that's good right there. I mean, the stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go ahead and say, like, come up, if you know, what would be the most significant story or a significant story in your life that really impacted you? And then they share
mm-hmm.
the story, and then you say, hey, I think there's a group of people that would really, really like that story, and they'll be like, nobody's going to be interested in the story, and you're like, no, it's a great story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm,
a great
mm-hmm.
idea, Dwight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think what Mark is, I mean, what I'm getting from what you're saying, Mark, and what you're saying, Dwight, is that there's a disconnect on either end. Why would a 20-year-old talk to somebody in their 70s unless they felt that there would be some value in that conversation? And why would somebody
mm-hmm.
in their 70s talk to somebody in their 20s unless they felt some value? But neither one of
yep.
them think that what they have to contribute is of value, and yet it might be the most important thing that the other one needs. They just don't ask.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is that true? Oh, okay. We have a couple more people on the line. Karen Carlson, welcome to the program. Did you have a question for Dwight or a comment?
Just an interesting reflection. My mom is almost 88, and I recently just had someone do a video interview of her. It was somebody that I had met, and I just felt like I just wanted to be able to capture, not just in writing her stories, but to be able to see her mannerisms, to be able to hear her in a different way, and to be able to have that for for all of our family and for generations to come, really. And so it was an interesting process because, you know, the woman that was interviewing asked her, you know, what is something special about each one of your children? What is, you know, kind of asking that question, what's, you know, some important things that you would want to pass on to future generations, really asking those questions. And we sort of gave them to her ahead of time so she would have a little time instead of just spontaneously to give those some thoughts. And I have not seen the final product yet. I'm anxious to kind of see it. She interviewed her probably for about a couple of hours, and it'll be about a 45-minute in the end with, you know, images and pictures and things like that that she also took. So, you know, it's, like you said, it's really valuing the older generations and not seeing them as just putting in their time and moving on or something, but really engaging with them and seeking their wisdom.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's
any
great.
Comments?
Yeah, that's great. And certainly a lot of people that when I ask, I have a standard question that I ask my strangers and their friends at the end of each, at the end of our visit. And I basically says, I ask them, what did you like about being with me for the evening? And so that they give me explicit feedback. And I also even ask them, was there anything that you disliked or anything that made you feel uncomfortable, you know? So I get some really explicit feedback from that. But one thing they often say is that they just feel like I'm wise and I can offer them things. But the other thing is like they like that my heart is just like a child. I often tell 20-year-olds, you know, in my heart I'm younger than you are. You know, you're already struggling with life, and you know. But for me, life is a playground, you know. And so, if you can somehow, if there's nothing about your physical age that really prevents you from still having the heart of a 5-year-old, you know. It's just the stories that you make up about your life, you know, and your interpretations. And that's and also that you can contribute at what age, every age you are. So your mother, right? Is that correct, Karen?
Yes, my mother.
Yeah, yeah. Your mother, you know, and of course by doing this video, that was a way for her to contribute to other people, you know, and to have a chance to share herself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Teresa, you're on the call here with Dwight. Did you have a comment or a question? Teresa Leck.
Yeah, hello. Good to talk with you again, Dwight.
Hello,
Teresa. I guess just I've been really kind of soaking this in. I think they all have really good points. One thing that stuck out to me that Dwight said, he was saying that because he's a foreigner in China, that he makes connections quicker, almost because they're closed off to their own kind. And I found that really interesting. It brought me back to memory. I have a friend who is in South Korea, and that led to a trip to Bali a handful of years ago. And I went, and I just found it really interesting that they almost thought we were celebrities because we were like four Americans that made it out there, and nobody ever does. And I guess I just wonder whether rhetorically or if there's feedback, Dwight, if you have ideas, how can you perhaps capture that energy or that ability to connect better with people where they're just coming up, talking to you, sharing stories, and, you know, just building friendships quicker instead of having that resistance. Do you have any ideas of how to mirror that in other situations?
Well, even when I was in the U.S., you know, I challenged myself, like, if I was standing in line at a blank, I would, you know, most people just stand in the line in the bank, right? And it's sort of boring. I would turn to the person next to me and I'd say, you know, in a sort of light voice, oh, what do you like best about standing in line at the bank, you know? and then from that, we led into a conversation together, you know? Or there was another situation. I live in Phoenix. There was this fast food Asian restaurant about 7-minute drive from my house, and I would go down there and get my combo chow mein bowl on my tray and everything, and I look around the restaurant and I look at all the people, say, sitting by themselves, like maybe there were six people, and I ask myself, which of these six people am I most frightened of approaching? And then I take a deep breath and say, boy, am I scared. And I go up to the person and I say, hi, my name is Dwight. I eat here often. I thought it'd be much more interesting to learn about somebody new than to sit by myself. How would you feel about that? And I actually kept a little bit of statistics. I did that with 23 different people, 23 different lunches, and I got 18 yeses and 5 noes, you know. But it's like, you know, everybody is waiting for the other person to take the first step. If you're willing to take the first step in a light, friendly way, it's amazing. The whole world's your playground, Teresa. Really. And everybody's just waiting to be your playmate.
I love that.
Think?
Yeah, I've actually done some experiments with that. Like just approaching people, and it is interesting. Like you get kind of nervous, but then it's really exciting. Like, hey, I'm meeting this person. I have no idea who you are. But you get to build that connection, even if you never talk with them again. But you feel like, hey, maybe I made an impact on their day, and then they can move on and bring that with them. So, but not everybody's open to that, and I think there's some magic in that moment of, hey, I'm a foreigner, and it's different. So they're like, hey, who are you? Where are you from? And checking in with you if there's a way to capture that. So maybe it's just putting that into our own minds as we work through the day.
Yeah, I grant you it's easier to do outside your own culture. There's a very interesting phenomenon I've noticed. I call it the cross-cultural freedom effect. When I'm, like, say, I'm talking to a Chinese woman, and she's talking to me maybe the first time, I'm outside my culture and she's outside her culture. And we actually have more freedom to be open and just to share almost anything than if she were talking with a Chinese person and I was talking with an American person. Because there's just certain things that are sort of, you sort of mutually know that are off limits if you're in the same culture. But those rules sort of disappear to some extent when you're in another culture. So there is a certain freedom in other cultures. But if I came back to the U.S., and I was living there, I think I've developed a new freedom here in China that I would try to bring back to the U.S., and it'd be very interesting to see what happened, you know.
I echo what you're saying. That was a great question, Teresa. I'd like to see if we can cultivate that bridge from China, from where you're at now, Dwight, and what we can do here in the U.S. If we can build a bridge where we can help us develop what that culture, how that cultural shift can happen so that it can make an impact on people here, man, I'm totally open to hearing your thoughts and everyone's thoughts to see what we can do to make that a reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even while you're there in China, to see what it is mm-hmm. we can do here and to bridge that.
You mean
I would even turn it around and say, how many of us would be willing to be out of our comfortable schedule and be on a call that's at a convenient time over in China?
Right. 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 That's a great point, Karen. Yeah. Here it is 3:38 p.m. on Wednesday, but it's 4:38 a.m. tomorrow morning in China.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight, but that's a great point. I have another question for you here. We're getting close to here to wrapping up, but this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. We can go on and on and on. I don't want to take your whole day. But I did have a question regarding business. What are the top five questions a businessman in his 50s or 40s or 30s should ask someone over 60 and loving life, someone who has some business experience? What are some of the top questions that I should be asking and others should be asking in business? What have you learned and what would be helpful for me to implement now?
Well, my answer is going to be very idiomatic in the sense that, if you're going to start a business or do a business, find a way to love it, you know. So don't do something. Be waiting for the rainbow at the end of the rainbow. It's like life is now, and living life is now, and loving life is now. So find a way to enjoy the process and set up so you enjoy the process, and. And don't assure you want some pressure. A little bit of stress is good, you know, but too much stress works the other way. So you need to adjust the gradient for your life at whatever point. So the gradient has some challenge, but not too much challenge. Because I know that a lot of people, they set it up so they get really overwhelmed in their business, and then they want to quit or it doesn't work very well. So that would be another point or question to ask about.
Would that fit into life balance?
You could call it a balance. Yeah. But I'm thinking more of the challenge level. You know, so many people, they really have too much challenge, and other people, they don't have enough challenge. So getting the right gradient so that it's enough, enough challenge, but not too much challenge.
Got it.
And I don't know if I can come up with five, but those are two.
Those are great. I mean, I think let's start with that. Steve, is there any other questions that you have for our guest?
Well, I'm very intrigued, Dwight, and thank you for being on the call. And you do life coaching. Could you give out some contact information where if somebody wanted a free coaching call with you, they would be able to reach out to you and accomplish that.
My pleasure. Yes, I provide a one-hour gift coaching session, no cost, no obligation, where I ask you to bring some issue or problem or goal, it can be personal or business, to the beginning of that one-hour gift session, such that if we had a major impact on it in the 1 hour, it'd be life-changing for you. It's a gift to me, too. I do so much, so please call me and we can set that up. The number to call, the U.S. number is 206-923-9554, 206-923-9554.
Perfect, wow. Dwight. So I have that number is 206-923-9554.
That's correct.
206-923-9554. Well, great. Well, so if you're listening to this rebroadcast and you're saying, you know, this was most intriguing. If you receive benefit from this, then we encourage you to go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net. And then go to What's Your Biggest Challenge? And there, go to Your Help is Needed. And you'll be able to learn more about the Vision Project and perhaps even contribute to the group-funded phone app.
And if you do have any questions about the material of today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., like you're in China, you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless. Have an amazing day. Dwight, thanks again for being on the program, and we really appreciate your input and the wealth of information you shared today. Thank you.
Steve and Kevin, you started my day off great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Have a great
Thank
day.
Thank you, Dwight. Bye
okay.
now.
Okay, bye.